Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
How big are your prayers? It's an odd question to lead out with, isn't it? How big are your prayers? I ask that because I know in my own life, so many times my prayers are not big enough. I like to pray those small prayers. Do you know what I'm talking about? Those safe prayers. Oh Lord, if it is your will, please do this. But if it is not, then don't do that. Lord, bless my day. Help everything go well. Give me a really good day. Thank you for another day of life. Amen. And I know some people would say, well, that's what I pray every day. What's wrong with that? Well, it's good to pray that, but it's a safe prayer. It's not a real big prayer. And so often I'll pray for things, and just confessing here, I will pray for things that honestly I can accomplish without God. Assuming that I put a little more effort into it, I can accomplish those things that I'm asking God for. But when you start to pray big prayers, you start to realize you are praying things that unless God shows up, you have nothing. Unless God does something, you have no alternative. If God does not show up and God does not work, then you are in trouble. And those are the big prayers. And we want to shy away from those because we want to be so dependent upon ourselves, and we like us, and we like being in control. But to pray a big prayer is going before God and saying, God, I got nothing. God, unless you work, unless you move, unless you show your power, unless you grant your wisdom, unless you show your direction, I don't know what to do. Well, we're going to find in Psalm chapter 20 today, or in Psalm 20, we're going to find a prayer that is recorded. Now, Psalm 20 is a prayer, most theologians and scholars agree, that Psalm 20 is a prayer that was prayed before going into battle. Most of them say that Psalm 20 and Psalm 21 go together. Because Psalm 21 is the prayer of rejoicing and thankfulness that occurs after the battle. But Psalm 20, it's a psalm of David, and we don't know if it's something that David himself wrote for the people to pray and to sing, or if it was something that the people would pray and that David took and set it to music. We don't know what the origin is, but we do know that it is a pre-battle prayer. If you were going into battle, that'd be one of the things you'd want to do, right? Is offer a prayer to God, especially if you were fighting on behalf of God. But let me go ahead and say, as I've said before, every single person who is a follower of Christ wakes up on a battlefield. And every single person wakes up every single day stepping into warfare. If we know Christ, we're fighting the world, we're fighting the flesh, we're fighting Satan, and so we need to be prepared. And let me go ahead and challenge you, as we go through this today, I want to point out this breakdown of how this prayer goes, but I want us to really be aware, and I want us to really focus in on where God may be leading each one of us, some areas that maybe we're doing really well in, and maybe some areas that God would say, you need to pray really, really hard about that area, because maybe it's an area where maybe you or I, maybe we're deficient in those areas. So we're going to start out in Psalm 20, and we're going to start at the beginning, verse 1. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of God, of the God of Jacob, protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. So in those first two verses, here's what I want us to look at. First of all, you are to pray for God's help in your trouble. Pray for God's help in your trouble. In a time of trouble, you are to pray to God. Now, I don't think any of us would usually have a problem with that. Usually when a hard time comes, trouble comes, difficulty comes, lots of times that's one of the things that we do. One of the first things is we go to God in prayer. But notice it says in verse 1, may the name of the God of Jacob protect you. In Psalm 91, verse 14, we find this. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. Well, it's the name of God. Well, of course, somebody would say. Well, there's more to it than that. Whenever in the Bible, when you find it mentioned God's name, the name of God, we are not just talking about who he is in the sense of what he is called. That's not what we're talking about. You find in Exodus chapter 3, Israel is held captive in Egypt. Moses is there before the burning bush, and God speaks to Moses from the burning bush and says, Moses, you're the guy. You're going to go deliver my people. And Moses makes this statement. He says, whenever I go to them and they ask me, what is his name? What am I to tell them? When they ask me, what's your name? Notice Moses doesn't say, when they say, who is this God? But what is his name? Because it was understood, you find all these different names of God in the Old Testament, all of these different titles. The idea is each one of those titles reveals something about the character of God. And Moses is saying, when I go to Israel in captivity and they're in trouble and I ask them or I tell them, God has sent me, they're going to be asking the question, what is the characteristic of God that applies to my situation right now? And so Moses says they're going to ask, what is his name? Not who is he? They knew God. But what is his name? What's the nature of his character? What's the attribute that applies to what's going on with me right now? And we are to pray and we are to understand that God's name, his character, his wisdom, his power, everything that makes God God comes to bear on your situation. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. We want to know something about his character. And by the way, when you find yourself in trouble, you will, if you go before God many times before God answers you, or in the answering, God will reveal something of his character to you that you did not know before. Sometimes you don't know how faithful God is until you're in a situation where you must depend upon his faithfulness. Sometimes you don't know what a great provider God is unless you are in a situation where you are in dire straits and you must trust in him to provide. Sometimes you don't know how loving God can be until you're in a situation where you have to throw yourself upon the love of God himself. And God show up and teach you and show you and reveal something of himself to you that you did not know and you would not know without that day of trouble. If we went around this room, there are many people here who could say, I was in a day of trouble and God showed up and God showed me something of himself in his answer. God showed me something of himself in the waiting. God showed me something of himself through this process that I had to go through. We are to call out to God and pray for God's help in our trouble. And this is exactly what God told them to do. Back in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 44, this is what God says. If your people go out to battle against their enemy, by whatever way you shall send them, and they pray to the Lord toward the city that you have chosen and the house that I have built for your name, then hear in heaven their prayer and their plea and maintain their cause. God, through his word, reveals that through the words of the king, whenever they're going out to battle, turn toward the sanctuary and pray. Now, is that some ritualistic thing? No. The idea was it would align their thinking, okay, I have to depend upon God. So I'm going to look to his sanctuary. I'm going to look to where we go to worship him. And I'm going to focus upon that because that is where I'm going to get help. I'm going to get help from God in my time of trouble. What's your time of trouble right now? Because we're all, as the old saying goes, you're either going into a storm, you're going into a storm, in the middle of a storm, or coming out of a storm. That's where all of us are. So if you're in the middle of a storm, hey, God's going to deliver you. He's going to bring you out of that. But if you're saying, whew, I'm free and clear, get ready. I don't mean to be negative, but get ready. Because there's a storm coming. We all face them. All of us face them. But in those times of trouble, you need to rely upon the name of God, the character of God, the very nature of who God is. What's your day of trouble that you're facing? Are you praying? Or are you complaining? God convicted me a few months ago, and I was griping about something. And God just really convicted me. And just convicted me, and it was almost like the Holy Spirit just asked me a question. What if you prayed as much as you complained? Oh, didn't like to hear that. What if you prayed as much as you complained? Let me give you another option. What if you prayed as much as you worried? What would your life look like if you prayed as much as you worried? When those moments came and you started to get worried about something, what if you just turned that around and just turned it into a prayer before God and just told God, God, I'm worried about this and I want to leave it before you. And God, I'm asking you to help me in this time of trouble. We are to call out to God for help in our trouble. Secondly, pray that your worship is acceptable to God. Look at verse 3. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. And there's the word Selah there. Selah, it's been kicked around exactly what does that word mean. Most commentaries say that that word Selah is a pause. It's a pause in the musical. It's a musical notation that indicates there is a pause in the song. Selah. Just pause. Some people have said it's, you know, pause and think about that. Some have translated it that way. But whatever the case, we have this musical notation. But may he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. Pray that your worship is acceptable to God. Now all of you are going to look at my shoes from now on. But a few years ago, I was getting ready to go to church. And I looked. And I was running late. And I looked. And I thought, oh my goodness, I got this scuff on the toe of my shoe. And those are the shoes I wanted to wear. So I break out the old school. I don't know if any of you still have one of these, but I've got one of the old school. It was actually my father's. It's one of those old shoe shine boxes. It's like the wooden shoe shine box with the two little doors that open up and it's got everything inside. Anybody else have one of those? Am I the only? Oh, some of you. All right. Some of you appreciate the way things are supposed to be done. All right. No, seriously. What I was taught when I was a kid, you take care of your shoes and your shoes will take care of you. Okay, you take care of it. You take care of your stuff, okay? So you take care of them, all right? Take a note. Take care of y'all's shoes, okay? But anyway. But I had this scuff on my toe, and so I was running late, and I thought, oh, no. Well, I take the shoe off. I go. I get the shoe polish. I get everything, and I start, going through the whole process, and I was running late. I ended up being late to church because of this. And so anyway, I go in, but I was like, but my shoe is okay. You know, I mean, it's like, it's good because, well, then you start with one and then you're like, wow, okay. Now this other one needs it, right? So basically I just went through the whole process, polished both shoes. Okay, so anyway, I go to church and I'm running late and I was sitting there and I rushed into service. And I remember I was up in Tennessee, rushing into service and I'm sitting there and then I was like, okay, here we go, okay, worship. And it was just in that moment that I realized I have spent more time getting my shoes ready this morning than my heart. I have spent more time preparing my feet for walking into this building than I have my very soul and getting before God and making sure I was clean before God and prayed up and ready to worship him with the right attitude. And it's so easy to do that. We are to pray that our worship is acceptable to God, and we should listen to God. How much time did you spend this morning? And I know some of you are like, oh, you don't understand. And we got the kids, and this kid's like over here, and they got mismatched socks, and this kid's like half-dressed over here, and everything's going on, and we're trying to shovel cereal into this one, and this is going on, everything's crazy, and we just kind of came in here on two wheels this morning. You know, I mean, I know, because some of you, I ask you, like, hey, how are things going? You're like, whoa, just glad I got here this morning. Okay, I get it, but what about the night before? What about the night before? What about when you're drifting off? Do you pray, God, prepare my heart for worship tomorrow. God, is there anything in me that would hinder me from worshiping in the right way? And I've gotten to where I try to do that. I try to, like this morning when I woke up, I was like, Lord, okay, before I even move, Lord, is there anything at all? Just take a few moments. God, is there anything at all that would hinder me from doing what you want me to do today? Is there anything that would hinder my worship of you today? Is there anything that's standing in the way between you and me? Is there anything that you want to do in me today that I've been resistant toward? Is there anything that might block me hearing clearly from you today? Is there anything, God? If there is anything, God, please point it out. And God, I'm just going to lay all this out before you. And God, I just want to be ready to go and worship you. Because that's not a flippant thing. We don't just lightly go into the presence of God. Yeah, but we can go boldly in his presence. We can go boldly into his presence, but we're not to go lightly into his presence. Because it's a serious thing to go into the presence of God. So do you pray like they're praying? May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. Why? Because we're priests. In the Old Testament, only the priest, only the great high, or the high priest, only one day of the year could he go into the most holy place of the temple or of the tabernacle and offer sacrifices. One day, only one day. And he had to go through like days upon days upon days of all this ritualistic cleansing and getting ready and preparation in order to be ready to go into the very presence of God. But we can go into the presence of God because of the blood of Christ, we can enter into God's presence. And if we know Christ as our Savior, then we are his priests. We have free access to God through Christ. This is in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Pray that your worship is acceptable to God, and don't treat it lightly that you can go into the presence of God. It's an incredible privilege. It's an incredible honor. Christ gave his blood so that we're able to do that. I can't. We should not approach that in a light way. Where is it that God may want to work on your heart before you go to worship him? Have you ever started praying and you start praying and as you're praying, it's as though God is, it's like there's something between you and God. It's like when you're talking to somebody on the phone and they're going through one of those dead spots or the signal starts to drop and it's just sort of crackly. And you're just like, something's just not connecting here. And so often for me, it's because I haven't taken the time to go before God, first of all, and say, God, search my heart. Is there anything that would stand in the way of us communicating? And you know what he'll do? He'll point it out. He'll bring it to mind. There have been times that God has brought something. I've been praying, and I'm not saying this to be super spiritual at all, but there have been times I have been praying and God has laid something on me and said, go pick up the phone and call this person and tell them you're sorry for such and such. Wait a minute. That was a while ago. They've probably already forgotten about it. It's like God saying, I haven't forgotten about it. I know, but you know, it's not really that big of a deal. And then I go and I'm gonna pick up the phone and I'm gonna tell them I'm sorry, and then it's just gonna open up. Yep, no, go tell them. And I had to go pick up the phone, say, hey, I just want you to know I'm sorry for such and such. I apologize, and it has never turned out badly, never, never, never. And why is it? I was talking to somebody the other day about this. And David Platt had a very similar quote, but the other day I was talking to somebody and they mentioned the Platt quote. I don't remember the Platt quote in all of its fullness. I think I may have mentioned it here on a Sunday morning. But the idea is this. You know how God, whenever God just speaks, things happen? You know what I'm talking about? Like in the Bible, God's like, let there be light, and there was light. And God just speaks and animals are created and God speaks and all these things happen. And then he tells one of his children, go do this. And we go, well, God, can we negotiate this? Can we talk about this? Everything else obeys. And then here we are and God says, go do this. Oh, God, that's so hard. God, I wish you hadn't have said that. God, wouldn't it be easier? God, I'll tell you what, how about we do this? How about I do this instead? Okay, maybe as a substitute. No, God speaks to us and we are to obey. And if God speaks to us about something that is standing in the way of our worship of him, then we are to listen and we are to obey. So we are to pray that our worship is acceptable to God. And then pray for God's answers in God's time. Anybody else struggle with that? Am I the only one? Okay. Pray for God's answers in God's time. Look at verse 4. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation in the name of our God. Set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Look back at verse 4. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. Well, that sounds pretty good. May he grant you, they're speaking to the king. May God grant you, king, your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. Pretty good, right? Because we got some desires and we've got some plans. The issue is they need to be the right desires and the right plans before God fulfills those. You find in Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. I was the singles pastor for a number of years when I first started in full-time ministry, and there were all these single girls in the program, and one of them said, "I've been reading Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart." I said, "Okay." And this other girl said, "I was reading about this girl who put together a book of her desires." So what are you talking about? She said, well, she took this loose leaf book, or a folder that had loose leaf paper you could add to it. And she went through magazines, and she went through all this stuff. She took these photographs from magazines of things she wanted in life, and she pasted them in the book. And she said that was her desire book, and she prayed over it. And she found this really good looking guy who was very nicely dressed, and she cut him out and put him in there. And she was like, "I want a husband that's this good looking." And then she cut out, like, she found a dozen roses, cut it out, and she like glued it on the guy's hand, like, "And I want him to continue, like, bring me flowers and all this stuff, and like, and there's chocolate in the other hand, you know." And then she's page after page after page, she puts all this down, and they're sharing the story while in the class, and then one of the girls says, and she said, "And God answered all of those prayers." And this other girl said, "That's it, I'm getting me a book." And I said, "Okay, time out. I said, it doesn't necessarily always work that way." And she goes back to this verse. She's like, "Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart." Will. That's a promise. Will. So what's wrong with the book? And I was like, you could put anything in that book. I mean, I could get a book and put anything in the book. Why don't you? I was like, because I don't necessarily believe. Because you have to go back to that word delight. Well, it just means be happy in the Lord. That's what it means. No, not originally. That's not what the word means. The word means to be soft toward or to be pliable. The idea is be pliable before the Lord. Be submissive before the Lord. Be happily content with God's perfect will and seek that. And you know what he does? He lines your desires up and gives you the right desires. Have you ever desired something and God said no, and then later on you said, "Thank you, God, that you did not give me what I wanted. Thank you for changing my want to's." You ever have that? If you haven't, you probably will. And some of you who said, "God gave me exactly what I wanted in life, maybe a job or whatever, or a situation," sometimes you find yourself, you're like, "God, give me that. And God finally says, "Okay, here you go. See how that works." But even in that, even giving you those hard things, sometimes God works his goodness and his glory and his mercy through that. But we can all go back to situations probably where we could say, "There have been times I've asked God for something and God did not give it to me out of his mercy." Delight yourself in the Lord. We are to pray for God's answers in God's time. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. But you have to go back in verse 4. May he grant you. And God's timing is not always our timing. That's what's so frustrating, because we want it now. We live in a fast food, microwave, push button culture, and we think God is supposed to respond in exactly the same way, and he doesn't. Some of you have heard the story before, but bear with me. When I was a child, there was this company called the Johnson Smith Company. And they had all these novelties, like whoopee cushions and magic tricks and all sorts of stuff. And I loved to order from the Johnson Smith Company because I just loved to, like, play pranks on my brother and my family and everybody. And they offered a surprise package. And if you sent in your hard-earned allowance money and waited Now, this was back before ordering online, the days when the world was in black and white, okay? But you would have to fill out the little form, and you'd have to fill it out, and you'd have to put the money in an envelope, and you'd have to send it off, and then you'd have to wait, and then they would get it, and they'd process it, and they would send this thing back to you. So I was waiting for my surprise package. I sent in 2 weeks of my allowance in order to get a surprise package. Didn't know what it was going to be. They just said it was going to be worth more than what it cost. Okay. So anyway. So I get this little package back. I'm so excited. I come in. So I'm in first grade. I come in. I'm so excited. I rip the thing open. I dump it out on the dining room table, and it's just a bunch of junk. Except there is what is what I believe to be a blue toy submarine there on the table. And I sweep everything else aside, and I'm so excited about the blue submarine. So I promptly take it into the bathroom. I fill the sink full of water, and I set my little submarine sail. I let it set sail, and it promptly sinks, which is kind of what a submarine is supposed to do, but not quite as quickly as this one did. And I was very upset about this, and I couldn't figure out, and I was like, must be parts missing. There are no propellers on it. There's no little periscope. There's no nothing. Clearly, they have forgotten to include something. And I went, and I was sitting at the kitchen table, and I was all upset. And my mother comes in. And she said, "Why are you upset?" And I said, "Well, I sent in all my allowance money, and then I get this submarine, and the submarine's not working, and they forgot, the stupid people forgot to put parts in there with the submarine, and now I'm just got the stupid submarine." And I was just vamping about the submarine. And I said, "It's just dumb, and I gave up my money for this." And I put my head down, and then I heard this noise. It was like this weird buzzing, squawking sound. And I looked up, and my mom had the submarine in her mouth. And she takes it out, and she says, "Honey, it's not a submarine. It's a kazoo." I was like, "What's a kazoo?" She said, "It's a musical instrument." I said, "What?" She put it back down on the table, and I picked it up, and I was like, "You mean to tell me that I spent my allowance money for this thing? This thing? And all this other junk? It's not even a submarine?" No. Well, that was when I first learned that life deals cruel blows. And I took the submarine, I threw it across the room, and I was so upset. Well, I took the submarine and it ended, submarine, the kazoo. I wish it were a submarine. I ended up taking this kazoo and it went from junk drawer to toy box over the years. And I would see it and I would get mad when I was a kid. One time, there were teeth marks on it where I just took it and I was just like, "I am so upset that just for months, every time I would see it, it would set me off. And it had cracks in it and all sorts of other stuff. And so this toy submarine this faux submarine / imposter submarine / kazoo followed me all through my life. Well, here's what happens. This was like 3 or 4 years ago. Major storm had blown through. It was that night that all the tornadoes came through the south and ripped everything up. And a tree had fallen on my late grandmother's house. And I was still up in Tennessee. And my mom and my brother had to go, and they had to clean up as much of the house as they could, and they threw away all this stuff, and they repaired the roof and everything. And I came back to do a revival in the summer. And while I was there, there's a place down next to this creek where I used to go, or I still go, and I go and I pray a lot. And I thought, I'll just go over to my grandmother's house. I just felt like I needed to go over to my grandmother's house. So I walk over there, and I'd been praying that God would answer some prayers, and I had just been praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. And I went over there, and I unlocked the door to my grandmother's old house, and I walked in, and the curtains in the living room were open just a crack, and there was a shaft of sunlight shining down into the middle of the living room. And there in this little square of light illuminated by the sunbeam was the blue kazoo. And I walked in and I looked at it and I was like, "Oh, for goodness sake, here it is. God, this is a perfect symbol of asking for one thing and getting another. And now here it is." So I pick it up, I put it in my pocket, and I threw it into the console of my vehicle. And I got back up to Tennessee, and it was probably about 3 months later. I'm sitting there at my desk. It was one morning. We had a senior adult function there at the church, and I was sitting at my desk working on something, and the music guy came to my door, and he said, "Hey, weird question. Do you have a kazoo?" And I said, "What?" He said, you know, I'm up in my office. And he said, you know, and we had like a large number of pastors on staff. He said, I was up in my office and I was just thinking, you know, I really need a kazoo for this little song I'm going to do for the senior adults. One of the songs, just kind of a fun song. And I was thinking, who on staff would have a kazoo? And your name came to mind. I was just wondering, do you have one? I said, hey, come walk with me to the vehicle. So I go out there and I get this blue kazoo, this old blue kazoo that I got when I was in first grade. I was like 6 years old, and I give it to him and he's like, whoa, this thing has seen better days. And I was like, yeah. He's like, it's got these teeth marks. Yeah. Yeah. So he used that in the program. And then the number of people he came in, he's like, you will not believe how many people. He says, the weirdest thing, you're not going to believe how many people were just so encouraged by my little goofy kazoo song. What was going on? God was teaching me something about his timing. It was a long time coming. It was just a little plastic blue kazoo. But you know what? Years after the fact, God used that blue kazoo in the lives of people in a way that I could not even imagine, sitting at my kitchen table when I was a six-year-old kid throwing it against the wall and claiming that the universe was unfair. What's your blue kazoo? Because everybody's got one. Everybody's got a blue kazoo. Everybody has something that you've been waiting for, praying for, thinking about, mulling over, and maybe God has given it to you, and you're sitting there looking at it saying, that's not what I was expecting. Or maybe you're waiting and waiting and waiting and praying and praying and praying, and you're waiting for God's answer and God's time, and it seems like God is taking his time. We are to delight ourselves in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Well, how long does that take? Who knows? Until God says, it's time. We all have a blue kazoo. And whenever you get one of those blue kazoos, so often it's easy to say, oh God, you shouldn't have given me this, and you blame God for it, when you may not even know the blessing that is resting in your hand because of the gift that he's given you. We are to pray for God's answers in God's time. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, last thing I want to say about this before I move to the last point. This is the confidence we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. God answers prayer. He will answer those needs. He will answer it in his time. Adrian Rogers once said, you can save a lot of time by waiting on God. You can save a lot of time by waiting on God. Don't get ahead of him. Save a lot of time by waiting on God. And then finally, pray for God's strength to endure. Look at verse 6 through 9. This backs up. Everything up until now has been, may this happen. May this happen. May this happen. We get to verse 6, and there is an affirmation of who God is. Now, I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call. Pray for God's strength to endure. So often we want to rely, as I mentioned earlier, we want to rely on all sorts of other things in order to give us strength and security. We want to rely upon all manner of things that we look at from a human standpoint and say, that's going to give me protection. That's going to give me everything that I'm looking for apart from God. Notice, some trust in chariots, verse 7, and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. It's amazing when you look to the Bible how many times that warning is given, or warnings like that. In Psalm 33, verse 16, the king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might, it cannot rescue. The war horse is a false hope for salvation. Oh, we don't need God. We got all these war horses. That's a false hope. Isaiah 31:1, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or consult the Lord. Jeremiah 17:5, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. In Psalm 60, verse 11, oh, grant us help against the foe, for vain is the salvation of man. We are to pray for God's strength to endure. Do you have a war horse? I've often said we default to those things we know best. If you default to your own intelligence, it's because you know it best. You're in a situation, I'll just figure this out. Maybe your own physical strength. I'll just work this out. I'm strong enough, I can bear this up. Maybe it's financial strength. Well, I've got the money to deal with everything I need to deal with. Maybe it's your job security. Well, but in my position, I can handle this. I got a title, I can tell people what to do. God says all of those things, they all amount to war horses. You need to be able to say, I have trust in God and in God alone. Are these things bad? No. But they are all gifts from God. And since they are gifts from God, God can take them away at any moment. So we are to trust in God. What is it that you're tempted to trust on other than God? Because what the answer to that, as I mentioned, is what you default to when trouble comes. When a situation arises and difficulty arises and uncertainty may come into your life, what is it that you run to first? Is it God or is it something else? Is it God or is it a war horse? Is it God or is it the might of an army, so to speak, that you have built up in your life and you have it stockpiled for that day of trouble? What is it that you depend upon whenever that day of trouble comes? What is it that you depend upon when you go into battle? They're going, and let's understand, they're marching into battle. So it would be the norm to look around and see war horses around you. Oh, we've got them whipped. Look at these horses. Look at these horsemen. Look at these warriors we've got. And God is saying, it's not about that. It's about the God who is leading them. It's about the God who is empowering them. It's about the God who is allowing them to draw breath so they may fight for his honor. Where is it in your life that you need to pray for that to occur? You need to pray for God's endurance, God's strength to get you through what it is that you're facing right now. So I tell you what we're going to do. As we close, there are some of you that you need to pray. Maybe you need to be here at the altar and you need to pray. And maybe it's one of those areas where you've been depending on something other than God. And maybe you're waiting on something. Maybe you're waiting on that, you know, on that blue kazoo. And you're praying for God's timing and God's way. And right now you're looking at it and it just seems like an absolute impossibility. And maybe you need to go before God and say, God, I'm just going to come before you and say, I renew my trust in you with this. Maybe you're facing some sort of trouble and it's bearing down on you and you don't know where the out is. It seems like you're hemmed in all around. And you're asking God to provide you for a means to walk out of that or to move through that. It could be a host of things that you're wanting to pray for. Maybe some of you have family members that are completely and totally lost. And know they are. Don't even care to consider what's going to happen after this life. Maybe some of you have children or grandchildren that have wandered off and wandered away from the way that they know that they should be living their lives. Maybe you're wrestling with something. Maybe it's a physical thing you're wrestling with. Maybe it's a financial or emotional thing you're wrestling with. Maybe you're just waiting on God to move and you don't see that means by which he's going to work. But I'm just telling you this, pray. And pray some more. And then pray after that. And then keep praying. The other day, I was looking through, and I'll close with this. The other day I was looking through, I have some spiral notebooks with like sketch paper in it, and I usually make notes in those, and I've got a few of them that I've accumulated. And I was flipping through an old one just the other day, and I came across this piece of paper I'd stuck in there, and I had listed some prayers, some things I was praying for. And as I went through that list, I was realizing, oh, God answered that, and God answered that, and God answered that, and that, and that. And then I started thinking about how he answered those things. And I was thinking, he answered that, but that's not how I thought it would have been answered. And he answered this, but he did that in an incredible way that I would have never dreamt of. And he answered this, and wow, that just totally seemed to come out of left field. God answers prayers, but we need to pray. In the mystery of prayer, God limits his actions so often to as a result of us praying. Or let me say it another way. God often does not work in certain ways because we haven't asked him to work. How does that all key in and work together? I really don't know. It's a mystery. It's that mystery of prayer. But when God says you have not for you ask not, it's true. So where is it that maybe you just need to go and you just need to ask God? And you need to keep asking God. And you need to keep asking God. And wait for his answer in his time. Let's pray. Lord God, we're thankful for the gift of prayer. God, you answer prayer. You tell us you do. And so, Father, as we come before you during this time, we come before you as a people who are completely and totally dependent upon you. We can do nothing apart from you, nothing of eternal worth, nothing lasting, nothing that completely and totally glorifies you in the way that you would have those things to, not apart from you, not apart from your strength, not apart from your empowering. We have no direction apart from your wisdom. We have no understanding of love, grace, or mercy apart from the love, grace, and mercy that you've shown to us through your Son, Jesus. We don't have any of those things apart from your graciousness and just the gifts from your hand. And so, Father, during this time, whatever it is that you want to do in our lives, now and in the days to come, Father, make us a people of prayer. If there's anything standing in the way, then, Father, I pray you'd remove it. Point it out. Show us. Reveal it. And, Father, help us to be right with you. So, Father, I ask now during this time, if there's someone here that doesn't know you, today would be the day of their salvation, that they would just surrender. Father, we pray for them. We lift them to you and pray that you would work in their hearts and in their minds. And Father, if they're here with us or if they're listening some other time or they're listening on the internet, Father, we just pray that you would give them the courage and the strength to do just that, to come and just lay down their lives before you, because your Son laid down his life on our behalf. It was a sacrifice for sin. Father, there are brothers and sisters in Christ here today and listening today. And they're wrestling with something. They're in a day of trouble. They're in a day of waiting. They're in a day where they're trying to see what the next step should be. They're trying to see where you're going to provide, where you're going to show up. And Father, I pray you would do so, and I pray you would do so exactly in your time, and that there would be nothing that would be left undone. But also, Father, I pray that through that time, you would reveal something of yourself to them that they do not know right now, so they may know you at a deeper level and praise you at a deeper level. So, Father, whatever it is that you want to do in us, whatever it is that you want to do by your Spirit, whatever it is that you want to work by the power of your word in our hearts, Father, we give ourselves to you. If there's anybody who needs to come and pray with one of us, or just come to the altar and just pray. Father, let them know they have the freedom to do just that. God, make us again, make us into a people of prayer. And it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. You respond as God leads.